quite a bit because we have other work that's getting in.
We just count it such a blessing to, even at our old age, to be invited to sing and praise the Lord and to lead the congregation in that way. But it's just lovely to be with you. And I wanted to explain a little bit about the responsibilities and the ministry that I'm involved in at headquarters. And I just wanted to let you know that even though we had served in Mozambique for 23 years, God was preparing us to not go back, and we didn't realize that. We had bought our tickets. I'm sure we told you last time we had bought our tickets, and we were supposed to be back in Mozambique Easter Sunday, 2020. Well, we all know what happened in 2020. Everything shut down. And we thought, well, you know, we've got our things all almost packed and we have our tickets purchased. Maybe we can just wait until June or July. Maybe things will open up. Well, things even got worse and tighter. And so we started working with our headquarters to see if there were things that we could do there, because we weren't quite ready to retire yet. We needed time to still be involved in ministry. And so a position came up with Dynamic Women, and I've been working with Dynamic Women as the administrative assistant. And if you know, I don't know if any of you have done personality type tests. There's one that's called the Berkman. And my color is all the things that I do and I love to do and I want to do are in the administrative side. I am completely yellow, which is administration. And then my next highest is serving people. And so that would be a teacher, whatever. So the Lord has put me in positions where I have been able to teach and serve people and be in administration. And so this was a wonderful opportunity for me to continue this. But Dynamic Women is exactly that, Dynamic Women. We have the opportunity, and when at first we couldn't travel, but last year we got packing our bags and we went to minister. It's women ministering to other women. And you know, in a church, at least 50% or more are women in the church. Is that not correct? And what better opportunity to be able to work one-on-one in groups with them and to train them to be able to reach their own families and their own communities for the Lord. And I know in a lot of different countries, Africa, India, probably South America, women are not thought of very highly, and they have a very low position in their society. And so this is just a great opportunity, not to make them be in charge of everything, but to encourage them that God loves them and that God can use them in wonderful ways to reach their own community for the Lord. And so this is one thing that we did. Well, I had signed up. I'm in the office, and I plan to do the logistics of all these trips. And they started last year. They started off in Uganda, and then there was Ivory Coast, and then they went to Kenya. And then there was an opportunity to go to Mexico. OMS has started a work in an area of Mexico that is only 3% of them have been reached or know anything about the Lord in an evangelical way. They, of course, are a Catholic country, and the Catholicism there is so based on idolatry, and they worship this idol that as it's similar to Mary. We know that the Catholics elevate Mary, but this is the Lady of Guadalupe, and it's like an idol that they worship, and it's terrible. It's just, they're so superstitious about this. Anyway, this area of Mexico is in the middle of Mexico, and it encompasses several different states, but OMS has named it the Circle of Silence. And we had the opportunity, we were invited to go and minister at two different churches. So our bags were pretty much packed, and we were ready to go in July. And it was a team of six of us. And 3 days before the trip, our host in the country and several others in the country came down with COVID. And we're just like, what? We were ready. We had practice. Material that we teach is called Seed Sower, and it goes through the women of the Bible. It goes through that we are worthy and valued in God's eyes. And then it helps them with developing a very short testimony that they could share with someone just walking on the street. Then it goes through how to share the message of salvation with three circles. And then another part of it is helping them to teach a very simple Bible study, but that anyone could do it. You don't have to have a big theological degree, but they could share in their homes with other women. Anyway, we were ready, and we were canceled. So when God says to wait, we're like, why? Why? And there had been a little bit of hesitation on one of the pastor's churches. He wasn't sure who are these women coming in, what do they want to do, and all the rest. And so we weren't really invited 100% there, but we had another church that we were going to. But anyway, later on, probably the end of August, first part of September, we were able to again start that planning for that trip again, and we went in October. But why? Why did God have us wait? So we thought about that, and by the time we got there, we were not as prepared. And I think we were prepared in our own strength. And this really helped us realize that we needed to be resting in God's strength and not our own. And so we're just like, okay, God, you're going to have to do this. But in the meantime, another church opened up. And so now we had three places to go to. So let's see some of the slides. This is just the purpose of the trip was to meet and develop relationships with women in Mexico, to encourage them in the Lord. I need to be able to see this here. And also to teach them the seed sower, train them, and to give the women tools to grow the kingdom of God. All right, next slide, please. So this is our team. This is one of our churches that we had. Shannon was the team leader, and I was the co-leader. Pastor's wife there, Lydia, came from headquarters, and Carol was there. And then we had Barbara from Oregon, and then Ilda was from Mexico City. Next slide. So we were able to minister to the women in the circle of silence. You can go on. This is our first area, and we were working with the indigenous people. They don't even speak Spanish as their first language. The language they speak there is Purépecha. And so we had the pastor interpreting so we had someone from English to Spanish and then Spanish to Purépecha. And the women, we were told, were very reserved, and when they would greet strangers, it would be like a very limp, you know, finger shake or whatever. We're like, oh, okay, let's see. Maybe this part of our training wouldn't do very well because it's very interactive. And when we got there, we got big bear hugs. We're like, what? This is great. And they were so excited that we were there. And so we were able to, first of all, show the Jesus film. I think the next slide. Nope. We had the Jesus film, and then we showed it that night, and then the next day we worked with the women. But that church was so ready and prepared for us. They had a young man that was taking care of all the kids, and so the kids weren't bothering mom. And then they had lunch prepared for us, which is something that we asked them to do as well. And it was so beautiful how we could share with them. Now, I don't speak Spanish, but I speak Portuguese. And the Spanish and Portuguese in my ears are very similar. And so I was really trying hard to communicate with these ladies, and some of them were like, what? Because some of the, maybe my pronunciation was different than they were accustomed to, but I could understand a lot, and I loved it. And these women were amazing. Now, this is the next location we went to, Juancito. It was a much smaller church, and this is the one where the pastor was quite hesitant to have us. But his wife was amazing, and I could tell that she worked well with the women in her church. Because when we said, turn in your Bibles to Luke such and such, and they were turning, and they knew, and I knew that she had worked with them, and that they knew God's word because of her ministry. And so we were able to do part of our training there. Next slide. So here, our OMS's theme is engaging the one to reach the many. It's that one-on-one. It's that working with small groups, and then you never know how that will spread out to their own families, to their communities. It was just a beautiful situation there and an opportunity for us. Okay. Then our main training was in La Piedad, and that's a city of about 100,000, so it's quite a large city. And this was in a Nazarene church, and they had groups of women from three different churches. And so we had over, I think, about 40 women, and it was 2 days. About 22 of them completed the full course. And you can go next picture. So we do all kinds of interactive things. Even some of the teenagers were there. And Troy, you can see on the right-hand picture, Troy is the missionary there, and he is a kid magnet. And I'm telling you, he's always interacting with the kids. So we would have times where we would pray with each other. They would map out, they would write down a list of three women in their community or in their family that they wanted to just be praying for. And so then we would pray over those. They had a map of different people in their community that they wanted to share their testimony with or start a Bible study with. And so they would write those out and then share with each other and pray with each other about this. And then as we went through all the different items in the training, they were able to show and share. So it's not just us lecturing up in the front, but it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Give them time to work on it. Give them time to practice it, their testimony. And we had a timer there. They only had 30 seconds. And so they would as fast as they could and then get better and better at it and have expression and everything. Right, next slide. So we had training with application. And that is the whole part of it. Because there's no point in having a bunch of words and a whole bunch of text to be able to read, and then it doesn't, there's nothing, no practical part of it. And so they were able to practice there. All right? Next slide, please. So here's some of their pictures. So who they are in Christ, and that one is a new creation, and she had a picture of a butterfly. So coming from like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And then the other lady was showing her map. She actually, her dad was the pastor of that church. And so she was one of our participants. All right. And then here is Pastora Naomi. And she was about this short. And she made us lunch. And she had a spoon about this big. She was about half her size. And there she was, you know, just stirring this big pot of, they use a lot of hominy. And so they make like a stew out of that, and then they add a little bit of meat on the top. But she, talk about a servant leader. That's what, she just served us and was just the sweetest lady. All right, her husband is the pastor. He's about 80 years old, and he's still pastoring that church. And then here's lunchtime fun. So that was when I got to practice some of my Portuguese and trying to communicate to them in with their Spanish. It was just such a neat, wonderful adventure. Part of the training is going through how to protect yourself from spiritual battles. And it's, we go through the armor of God. And so we divide the women into six groups, and they each take a part of the armor. They go through the scriptures. They go through some other scriptures to see how it protects them. And then they have to come up with making a part of the armor. And so they don't have, I mean, they're just there in the church basement, and they have to figure out what they're going to do. So there's a lot of paper and cardboard, and then one group found a basket, kind of a mesh basket, that they used to make the helmet with duct tape. It was quite interesting. But then we have them dress, one person, and that was our team leader, and then they get up there and share about this armor. And so it's very, you know, it helps them to understand it in a real way. Okay? And then at the very end, we, for those who have completed the 2 full days, they get a certificate. And we celebrate and we review all the different, we have everything on sheets, flip charts, and so we paste them, and all their pictures and all the things that they've done, we put on the walls of the church or the basement there, and then we do a celebration and review of what they've learned. And then we have a special prayer as they're empowered to go forth, okay? And so a couple of the testimonies. Angela was one of our team members, and she was bound and determined to get one of those spoons. And so we went to several different places to find one, but we couldn't. And finally, Troy, our host, took us just to a little store just down from the seminary where we were staying. And lo and behold, they had a spoon. And so as he was talking, as we were all shopping in there, little tiny store, Troy happened to see that the owner had his Bible open to Psalm. And he knows Spanish fluently. And he said, what's your favorite book of the Bible? And the man said, well, I don't know. I don't know how to read this. I don't understand any of it. And Troy said, I know exactly who can help you. And so he exchanged his phone number with him. And of course, this shop was just within walking distance of the OMS seminary. And he said that we can have a Bible study together. And so that was just a wonderful opportunity, something that, you know, we had never anticipated. So that was one of the things that happened. Now, that spoon was too large for her suitcase. So the next 40 minutes was spent sawing part of it off so she could get into her suitcase, because we found out you can't carry it as a carry-on. In the big, huge box of whatnot, it was like a display, things you cannot take on the plane. There was one of those ginormous spoons. I guess it could be a weapon to hold up the plane. Who knows? Anyway, so she got it cut about 4 or 5 inches off of it, and then she fit it into her suitcase. But it has such a special story to tell. And then this other lady, she was at La Piedad, went through the whole training, and she said, I can't believe this. I can do this Bible study. I could start something like this. And so she, from the first day of the training to the second day, she had already called up 4 of her neighbors to be able to come and do a study together. And I think it was still even online. So it was, I don't know if it's in person, but I'm pretty sure it was online, so that they were doing it over Zoom. And then a few weeks later, we heard that she had 7 ladies, and 3 ladies came to know the Lord. So, you know, even just in such a short time, and it's exciting for them because they can see, wow, this really works. I can do this with God's strength. All right? So, what's next for me? Well, I'm heading back to Mexico. This is our little brochure about the trip. After about 6 months, we give the women an opportunity to practice some of those things that they have learned. And those who have kind of really taken a hold of it and are working with it, then we go back and do train the trainers. And this is training so they can do seed sowers. So we don't have to keep going back to the same area. So we're heading back, and Lord willing, this is going to be April 23rd to May 2nd. And we've got a team of 4 of us that are going, and we'll do this training in the same church, in the church in La Piedad. And then after 3 days of training, well, a full day of training for teaching them about how adults learn and all the theory behind it, then we give them assignments, and they have to practice teaching or training others on the seed sower. So they have 2 days of that, and we coach them. And then we bring in a new group of women, and they do a full seed sower training for them. So it's a wonderful experience for them, and we're there to kind of encourage them and coach them and help them along, but we really want them to practice. And then they can set up other trainings in churches that said, hey, wait a minute, we never got this, and we heard about it, and we'd like to have that. So that's what's happening. There are more trips like this. All right, let's see what we have for the ending there. That's it. So these are some of the trips that are happening. We have Train the Trainers. Then for Mexico, we also have a conference that's coming up, and that will be in that same area. And then another seat sower training in a new area in Mexico City. And there's other trips. If you would love to go to Africa instead, we have some to Togo and to Sierra Leone. And I would love to see some of you ladies sign up. It is a comprehensive trip. By the time you sign up, get your application in, and put your down payment in so we can get your ticket, you are taken care of. We help you with the training. You don't have to be evangelist or trained in any of it, but just we go through everything step by step. We encourage you throughout the trip. We help with all the things. The cost of it is exactly what it costs. The only thing you have to put money into, bring money for, is if you want to buy a few souvenirs and maybe a meal at the airport. But it is a wonderful opportunity for you to be involved. And, you know, Mexico isn't that far away. It's not like Africa, where it takes a day and a half to get there. But Mexico is just a very short trip down there, and we have, anyway, things are really well organized. So it's just a wonderful opportunity. If you are interested, just go back, and there's brochures of the different trips that we have. And also, like Men for Missions, we have a list of these different opportunities that you can go to. And also, I would appreciate if you wanted to pick up one of these, just a bookmark. It's a prayer card for me. And it has my itinerary in the back, and we need prayer. You know, there's so many things that just safety and health and just connecting with the women and praying for them, that they would have open hearts for all of this. So thank you so much for letting me share. And I hope I haven't taken too much time, but we just love the opportunity to be able to be involved in this. And this is something that I could do even after I retire, go on these trips and encourage others to be there as well. So God bless you. Thanks.
If it's orange, okay, that sounds like me. Well, good morning, everyone. It is so great to be back here again. However, I didn't know if I was going to make it up driving up from Lancaster yesterday afternoon. Wow, it was really windy on the road. And as we woke up yesterday morning, we were staying over the night with Susan's aunt, who lives in Lancaster, and I checked my email, and there were several emails. What? Use this one?
You tell me.
Testing, one, two. Doesn't matter. It's okay. So as I was checking email yesterday, there were several emails from... Okay, this one's on. Can't see it. Can you hear me? Okay. So as I was looking at these emails, there were several from our OMS missionary family saying that a tornado had hit in Whiteland, which is about 5 miles from Greenwood, where we live. And so they were all checking in to see if they were okay. And one family said, yeah, praise the Lord, our house wasn't hit, but we have no electricity, no water, anything, power lines down. But the neighbor right next to us lost her entire house. And that went on for quite a bit of time. We're going, oh my goodness, that's extremely close. I've never been in a tornado. Maybe you guys have, but I don't want to actually experience one. And we went through cyclones in Africa a few times, and those weren't fun either. But Lord's always protected us. But we're praying for a nice, easy trip back to Greenwood, Indiana this afternoon. And not, because my knuckles were white yesterday driving up here. But it was quite interesting. There we go. We can go up to the first slide after this one. And I just wanted to say thank you. And I know that some of you were here when we shared about a year and a half ago. And that at that time, I was accumulating a lot of disability equipment to ship to Mozambique. And we had the equipment, but we didn't have the finances to ship the container to Africa. And you guys just overwhelmed us by paying that. That $10,000 that we received shipped that container. And I tell you, it's the verse that I've been looking at recently is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. And that gift was not just a blessing to me, but when that container arrived in Mozambique, it was the end of the year last year, so it's actually 21, we didn't know if they were going to be able to use all the stuff I shipped, because there's wheelchairs and walkers and crutches, but there was a ton of adult diapers. A ton. I'm not joking. I weighed them. And we're figuring, will they ever use all this stuff? And so I was waiting to hear when they were start, building wheelchairs and giving them out and fitting people and all that. I says, what about all that other stuff? And he says, it is going so quickly because there was such a huge need. And it was like God put that whole container together to bless so many people in Mozambique. And you guys were a huge part in that. And that's the container. And I packed that thing and I lost a few pounds of sweat. You ever been in a 20-foot container when it's hot? It's like an oven inside. But it was really exciting to see the doors finally close. It's making their way across the ocean. I was actually able to track it on GPS as to exactly where that container was sitting in the ocean and waiting for it to arrive. And it got into South Africa, and then it finally made it into Maputo Harbor in Mozambique. And what a blessing that was. And so I just wanted to say thank you and being such a great encouragement to so many, especially for those that received that equipment in Mozambique. The next slide. And I just want to touch base, because I know you guys know or have heard of Melvin and Sharon Kelly from Northern Ireland, and they've been missionaries in Mozambique for quite a few years now, our partners there. And they've been to this church, and their card is in the back. And so I just wanted to share that, they're the ones that started this disabled ministry. And they did that over about 10 years ago. And it's grown and grown to the point where we have a workshop, kind of like a container. They actually have taken a container, and then they have another small building where they refabricate wheelchairs to fit the specific needs for the people that need them there. And then they have 8 full-time employees now. When I was there was only 3. And so the ministry is continuing to grow and reaching out. And part of the challenge was that for families, if you have a disability or a child of disability, they feel that your family is cursed. And so because of that, they are embarrassed and ashamed, and they hide away from people. And those children that could receive so much better care don't, because they just don't know what to do with them. And so with the Helping Hand Ministry, now it's called Somos Nós, and in Portuguese that means we are. I have no idea why they changed the name to Somos Nós, but I guess it's about just being together, and that we are together. And so those from the church are now ministering to another community, whereas they didn't do that in the past, because it was felt that those that were in the disabilities, they didn't associate with people. Now the church is recognizing they need to reach out and invite those people to the church, and those so many families now are doing that. And we have many churches in that are part of our national church that they are able to go to, and we have many volunteers now. And it's exciting to see. Mark 16:15 says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I was reading a devotional where just recently it said something about there is no discrimination, is there? If you're healthy or disabled, God opens up that everybody has the opportunity to know who Jesus is and salvation. And so that is now being portrayed to our national churches, and they are reaching out to their own communities for ministry there. And it's extremely exciting to see what is going there. About 2 months ago, Samuel, our lead fabricator, had a serious accident, and he lost two fingers. And I don't know how it happened, but our team, Melvin was there visiting, and they were able to get him and those two fingers, and they went to a private hospital, and they found a surgeon that was able to reattach those fingers. And as of the news of last week, is that those fingers are healing well, and that there is numbness is going away, and now it's the therapy part of actually getting those fingers to work again. So please pray for Samuel. I always knew him as Samitu. Samitu means little Samuel. But he's 30-some years old, so he's not little Samuel anymore, but he's still Samitu to me. And so Samitu just needs your prayers, because as the lead fabricator, he's the one that does the majority of the repairs on these wheelchairs and equipment. And trust me, it's constant. It's all sand. And the sand in the wheelchairs just destroy the bearings and everything so quickly. And there's no equipment and no way and means for people, if they get a wheelchair, to get it repaired. So this workshop is extremely busy, and they don't charge anything. And so when people bring their equipment there, they're able to restore that, refabricate it to working back again, and get it back to the families. Next slide. And so you can see some of the pictures of people that have specialized wheelchairs there. And now those that do know Melvin and Sharon Kelly, and you've been following them, it's been about 14 months ago. They were home on furlough, getting prepared to come back to Mozambique. And in January of last year, their 12-year-old son was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. And that is a very serious leukemia. It's not one that people don't recover from very well. And that 12-year-old boy spent the next 8 months in the hospital. And we didn't know if he was going to recover or not. Praise the Lord that his younger brother was able to be a bone marrow donor for him. And so he got that bone marrow transplant. And so it's a day-by-day thing. He still is not able to go to school. He studies from home with a tablet that he can see his classmates, but he is improving. And so the Kelly family, and especially Josh, would love your prayers for him and for the family. But as such, they're not able to go back to Mozambique. And so they're not saying forever, but the question is how long, when you have a son that is fighting cancer, that they will just not be able to go back very soon. So we just do just pray for them. I did print out some, or actually Susan printed out some of their really recent newsletter, and they're in the back table as well. So if you want to catch up on these current things, feel free to grab one of those. And we also just printed off our new spring newsletter, and it's back there as well, and so you can grab one of those too after the service and receive that. And if you want to be added on or something, just let us know. Next slide. And one more after that. There we go. I just want to share quickly, and how much time do I have? Do I have another hour? Yeah, okay. How about 5 minutes? Will that do? I don't believe it, but sorry. I just like to share some of the things about Mozambique that are special to us, and one of those is our seminary. And the seminary, you know, we started in 2003 as a Bible school, and then we went several years with a Bible school, then nothing for a while because we had no building. And we built a seminary building And then in 2010, we actually started seminary classes. And so as of today, we have about 120 plus students attending the seminary. And they're from, we are a non-denominational seminary. So that means that we have lots of these small little community churches that are not denominational that they can send their students to our seminary where they would not be able to. I mean, there's a Assembly of God seminary, and if you're Assembly of God, you can go to them. There's a Baptist one, you can send your kids to the Baptist one if you're from the Baptist church. But what if you're not? And they need training. And so we have at least a dozen different small churches that send students to our seminary, and they are receiving training. And we recognize that is the best thing to reach their own people for Christ, is it not? To train up nationals to reach their own people. And so the seminary is growing really well, and the director just retired in December, and so our new director, Obed Malembe, is a great guy. He was a professor before, and now he's the director, and he's doing great things. And we recognize the seminary is in good hands, and so we're excited for the seminary and what they're going to be doing. They would love your prayers as to, we want to get the seminary to be registered and recognized by the government of Mozambique. But it is a challenge that seems to be almost impossible, because the government does not recognize theological education. And if they don't recognize it, how can they approve it and be able to register it? There is a process that they found out that we can start the process if we only pay $30,000 for the application, with no guarantee that we would ever get it. And since no one has ever done it, we're seeking prayer and wisdom to realize, is that a process that we at this time are even considering? And so we're not, right now it's not on the agenda to start that process unless it's a clear call by God that that's what he wants us to do. But that is our ultimate goals. We need to be registered and get it by the government. And it'd be wonderful if we could be the first. So then there others could do that later beyond. And so so just pray for wisdom for that. The next slide, okay, is Christian Academy in Mozambique. That's where our heart, for 23 years of ministry in Mozambique, Susan first started as a teacher, and then she directed the Christian Academy for 13 years. And I was doing finance administration and building and construction and repairs and whatever for all those years as well, with the school as well as the mission. And so the school is very dear to our hearts. And so we just pray that the school is going through some different challenges right now, and as well as our team. And we're in the process of actually releasing Christian Academy over to another organization called Teach Beyond, who specialize in Christian education around the world. We don't have any missionaries in Mozambique that actually have kids in our school anymore. No teachers at our school anymore that are with OMS. And it's not the main priority of One Mission Society to run Christian schools. Seminaries, yes, church planting, yes, training and equipping, but not Christian schools. And so the emphasis is, well, we've built up the school to 130 students around the world and great facilities, so we're not giving the property, but we're releasing the ministry, the actual operation of the school, over to Teach Beyond. And we've been in that process now for over 2 years, and over the next year or so, we hope to be able to make that complete transition. So pray for the school that way. I serve as the chair of the board of the school, even though I'm 8,000 miles away. And I'm praying somebody will take over that from me, but I'm still doing it. And I'm praying that that will happen soon, and that we can release that school to a chair of the board that lives in country, that can be closer to the director of the school and work with Teach Beyond. But in the meantime, they're stuck with me. And I think we have one more slide after that. That's our graduates when we were there in 2021. Those are our kids. That's our family. And we just love Christian Academy and how they reach out to the community there. And we just appreciate Dwayne Pass, who's our new director there, so very much. And they would just love to have your prayers. And the next slide is our OMS Mozambique team. And it's a challenge right now because we recognize that the Kellys are not going to be coming back to Mozambique. We're not going back to Mozambique. Kellys won't be back for some years with Joshua and his health. And then we found out 2 weeks ago that the field director, Jeff Acton, and his wife Courtney, and they have three kids that are in high school, he just took a new position in Indiana as the director of Reach India, which is an organization that reaches out to young girls in India. I think he told me about 8,000, so he just let me know that about 2 weeks ago. And so they're leaving in June, and so they only have a few months, and so we recognize, oh, another family is going to be leaving the field. And what does that mean for all these ministries that we're involved with there? Our team is made up now of three singles and two couples. And two of those couples, both of them are Brazilians, and one couple is going to be moving to the middle of the country, so won't be there on campus. And the other one, they've already mostly moved out of the campus. Their ministry is church planting and discipling in a rural, very rural area. And so they go out and tent and camp 3 weeks out of four. And then they come back, refresh themselves, restock, and go back out to the village again for 3 weeks at a time. And so pray for wisdom and vision as to what do we as a mission do to encourage, you know, it's not a small operation. We have 59 families that we support in Mozambique. All those are employees between CAM School, the seminary, Helping Hands, and those that work on our campus. That is a lot of responsibility. And so pray for that. And lastly, I pray for us. And Susan told you that what she's been doing and then she'll be doing later. But September, we are heading west. And so we're up at that age now. But retirement is kind of, it's not really there, but we feel the call to return back to our hometown. And our hometown is Sequim, Washington, and probably never heard of it. It's about 7,000 people, so I think it's even smaller than Galleon right now. So, but we love that area. It's beautiful. That's our sending church that sent us out in 1995. It's from there. And so we feel that call to come back to the church and our community. But that doesn't mean we're done with missions. We feel that we're going to continue with missions. Headquarters has asked me to carry on doing administrative financial work from remotely, which I can do. And so I'll still be working with One Mission Society, but doing it remotely from Sequim. And so you can pray for us as we make this transition and realize that we're not getting any younger. But I don't think anywhere in the Bible it says anything about retirement. But we're just going to keep on doing what we can do. It's just going to be a little different. And so we're looking forward to what those differences will be for us. And so we thank you so much for your prayers for us, your support for us over these years. We've been coming off and on to Open Arms over 20 years now. But there was a long gap in between up until the last time here. And so we appreciate you. And thank you once again for how you encourage so many, especially with those with One Mission Society. I just want to read that verse again to you out of 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And we just recognize that not all of you can go to the mission field. Some of you can join Susan to go Dynamic Women. There's other things that you can go, but most of you are going to be here, and your prayers, faithful prayers and support, are what keeps us going on the mission field. So don't ever stop. And thank you so much for letting us come. I know I went a few minutes over the five, I told you. But we just love you guys, and thank you so much. And may God bless you continually. And who knows, maybe we'll make it back again one day. Or maybe you come and visit us in Sequim. God bless.
As we